We're doing the Navi Yeshayah. We're up to what's called the 7th chapter, the 20th Pasuk. The Navi is talking to Achaz ben Yosam, the Judean king. And Achaz has been pretty disrespectful to the prophet. And the prophet tells him, the problems you're seeing now are going to pass. The Aramean Empire, the northern 10 tribes, they will pass. But there will be real trouble coming. And he is referring to the Assyrian Empire that's going to come and lay siege on Jerusalem. And Hashem describes how he will call out and gather the armies. He calls them the flies and the bees from the Egyptian Empire and the Assyrian Empire. Those are the two forces that united, and the Assyrian Empire took in the Egyptian Empire and together went to lay siege on Jerusalem. And the Navi described how they will swarm throughout the land, filling every hole, every crevice, every little crack will be filled with soldiers. And the Navi continues in Pasuk Chaf, Bayom ha'o yigalach Adonai betar ha'sechira be'evrei nahar b'melech ha'shur et ha'rosh v'sa'ar ha'raglayim. On that day, Hashem will shave the hair of the head and the hair of the feet with a blade that was rented. And the idea is it's a blade that's so expensive that people rent it for use. It's not something that people hold on to. Hashem will use this very refined blade to cut down on the other side of the river the king, the Assyrian king. Vegam et hazakan tispeh. So all the hair is going to be cut down. The idea is all the nobles, all the leaders, all the people are going to be cut down. And that's the idea that the Assyrian Empire was totally destroyed. And even the beard was cut down. And the beard is a reference to the elder, a reference to the king Sancheiriv. After losing his war, he went back home. And he was serving his idol, and he whispered to the idol, you know, I must have been disrespectful to you. I didn't offer you enough. I'm going to sacrifice one of my kids to you. And the two kids heard this, and they said, no, you don't. And they killed him. So Sancheiriv was the beard. He was the top of the people, and even he was cut down. Vehaya bayom ahu. And on that day, a person will grow in his home a young cow and two sheep, because there's going to be so much blessing that there'll be enough food not only for the people but even for their animals. There's going to be so much milk that you'll be eating butter. Kichema udvash yochel kol hanotar bekerev haaretz. Whoever makes it to that day, the remnants in the land will be eating butter and honey. Ve'aya bayom ahu yiyechol makom. And on that day, every area, every territory, asher yiyesham elif gefin be'elif kasef, places that were valued 1,000 grapevines were sold for 1,000 silver coins. That's going to be lashamir ve'lashayit yiyeh. People won't be busy with getting themselves wine. People will be busy learning Torah. So these great vineyards that are so precious, they will be totally desolate. They will be shamir v'shayit. Two different types of thorns will grow there, and people won't mind, because their thoughts will not be on drinking wine and running after the worldly pleasures. That generation, the generation of your son Achaz ben Yosam, his son Chizkiyo, that generation is going to be a pious generation, where even the most precious grapevines will be left to rot. בחיצים ובקשת יבוא שמה. If you're going to want to enter those grapevines, that, what do you call it, a grape orchard? What do you call a field of...
Vineyard,
thank you. I know I was missing a word. Okay, if you're going to want to enter that vineyard, it's going to be so desolate that you're going to have to walk in an armored vehicle with arrows and bows. Bachitzim uvakeshet. Ki shamir vashayit tiyeh chol haaretz. Because all of that is going to be desolate, so it's going to be filled with snakes and scorpions. So anyone who wants to enter is going to have to enter with weapons. So here we have again two interpretations. One interpretation is that the Navi is describing, even though the people will be saved, but because there will be such a siege over Jerusalem, their fields will not be saved. Even their most precious fields will run desolate. That's the simple reading of the verse. Then the deeper understanding of the verse is that people won't mind it, because people will be so pious that they won't be thinking about their vineyards. They'll be thinking about their service of Hashem, which was the generation of Chizkiyo. And so, yes, the vineyards will rot. So you're going to ask me, but you need vineyards to make Kiddush, right?
Is piety letting physical possessions and fields rot?
Maybe you don't need the most expensive ones. I don't know. I agree. I don't know. It's a little difficult, that interpretation. Because you also need wine for Kiddush and you need wine for the Mizbeach. So I guess those vineyards didn't go bad.
I mean, all about the highest level of Am Yisrael is uplifting the whole, uplifting the physical world. And so it's hard to say, this really pious generation will let everything rot.
I don't know. Here in Israel, things are different because if everyone's pious, then who's going to work the fields?
Well, maybe working the fields is part of being pious because we learned from last week's parsha in itself, that in Judaism there's a direct relation, if not a unity, in fact, between the physical and the spiritual. So, in order to be pious in the Judaic ways, in Judaic lifestyle, it's not just only learning the holiness of the Torah and davening all day. It's also working the field. It's a mitzvah in and of itself. So it's like two hands. There's two. It's like two sides of one coin, and one isn't complete without the other. Even if not every single person is okay half the day learning in the yeshiva and half the day working in the field. So whatever the balance might be, the balance is necessary in order to be complete.
Okay.
Right? What's the ideal? Learn all day or put your learning into the venzu and what? What was the example? A guy came out of the cave, Yochanan.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? So... Right, but he says that's a Gemara in Shabbos. That's a machlokas over there.
Right.
Okay.
Plus the cure was going back in the tent. People learning wasn't so just didn't learn right. Wasn't if you learn enough necessarily.
Okay.
So, we can say, pious farmers. Who was going to be making the...
Right. Certainly going to war.
That's a simple answer. Who's going to be making the...
So the Gemara discusses it. It's a machlokes Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay. Let me ask you like this. Someone's got to collect the garbage from the streets, and just because someone has to collect the garbage from the streets, does that make it a mitzvah? Does that make it something you want
to
do?
The
milk and the butter. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if we're doing what we're supposed to, so then we'll have Thailandim. We'll have foreign workers here doing all the work for us. That's how the Gemara, that's how Rav Shem Bar Yochai says. The ideal situation is where we could be living up to our potential, and you have foreign workers who are going to do all the dirty work that has to get done. You'll tell me, but they're an integral part. They're like an integral keg in the smooth running of our society. Right. So that's That's their merit, that they played a role in getting what's right off the ground. But is it my ideal to be the one who collects the garbage off the streets? So that's the discussion between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael.
I mean, I hear all the time, after I hear that you know, they talk about the merit these people have that are sweeping the streets of Jerusalem.
Granted, fine. But is it an ideal? I'm saying when you do it, it's a merit. Fine.
Okay.
You could be the guy who's cleaning the toilets in the yeshiva. It's a very big merit. It's a bigger merit to be the guy learning in the yeshiva. That's not to say what he's doing is worthless, but then if you have a generation that's all up to par, like Chizkiyahu ensured in his day, that his generation, even the smallest child, knew the Shas, so he had a tremendous infrastructure for education, and then you say, okay, so who's going to clean the toilets, right? If everyone's this huge Talmud Chacham, so who is planting the fields and collecting the food? So the verse tells us, actually, that they did get imports, and they did have a miraculous situation where they got food, and Sancheriv's armies all perished at the gates, and then they got all the wealth of Mitzrayim. Hashem ensured that first Sancheriv takes down Mitzrayim, and then he comes to our gates, and then they all drop dead in this miraculous plague, and then we collect all their loot. Okay, I'm saying there is that description. It says that when we got the man from heaven, so God said to Moshe, take a container, put the man in a container to be remembered for generations. So Rashi right away quotes on that pasuk, which generations? That's this generation, the generation of Chizkiyahu. When Chizkiyahu started educating everyone, so they said, okay, so we're all going to be philosophers, and who's going to plant the fields? Who's going to take care of having food in the country? So they asked this question, and the Chazal say that the prophet told Chizkiyahu, go take out the man. For this time I told you to hold on to the man. So go show them the man, that when the Jewish people were up to par, so then God took care of giving them food. So you see, there was a generation, which wasn't on an unusual level, where Hashem says, you can go back to the man. And that seems to be an ideal generation. So that definitely seems to support the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Gemara, that the ideal is a situation where you do not have to work the fields. There's a Chassam Sofer like Ari saying that says that here in Israel, working the fields is a mitzvah. Okay, but there are bigger mitzvahs. The question is, what's our ideal? And that's the idea that the Rambam works at in his introduction to Mishnah, that you have a world, and why are there so many people in the world? If the goal of the world is to be educated and to be a top servant of Hashem, so then why are there all these people who don't even have that potential? Right? So the Rambam says, because you do need someone who's going to work the fields and someone who's going to do all the other work, and they're an important part of the pyramid. The question is, how many people could you fit on the top of the pyramid? So Chizkiyahu showed us that he could get his whole generation on the top of the pyramid. So who is working the fields? So that's what that's the idea of Chizkiyahu, that God said, I'll take care of it.
And learning all day, okay, it's a big schud, but like there's all the mitzvot they're not getting from all like the other mitzvot that have to do with the land and all that sort of stuff. Like,
so you have to build your sukkah, right? So they did build their sukkot, but they did the bare minimum that they had to.
So how are they observing Shemitah? How are they observing
whatever field they had, they were observing Shemitah on. Anyways, they didn't have Shemitah at that time. It wasn't Nogek, because the 10 tribes were exiled. So you don't have Shemitah.
Okay.
You don't have Yovel. I'm sorry. You don't have Shemitah either, no.
That ideal situation seems to be, at his time, even though it was a very special time, and there was potential, it wasn't actually messianic at that time, right?
Also, Chazal say it could have been.
It could have been, except for what they heard, except for the damage that they'd done before, they did tshuva or something. I read, but that idea can create, it seems to me, I may be on base, but it seems it can create problems in the sense that if somebody is not capable of learning seriously in yeshiva all day, but he feels that's the ideal, and he hangs out there when he would be much better off doing serving Hashem with another mitzvah, like maybe, like Ari said, doing that particular thing, or whatever, filling factor, I don't know, but doing other things, it could seem where you have a situation, Kalandia, Arab workers, this isn't Jewish work, then you have people coming from abroad and bringing other influences, and, you know, it seems like in an ideal society, like in with the Mosh, maybe it worked. Everyone could learn all of it, but in the reality, you'd think that having that as the goal that we're trying to institute today might do more harm than good. I don't know.
Yeah, I that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara words it differently. That many people tried Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's route and it didn't work for them. That's the wording of the Gemara. So again, so there's a practical question, which is what you and Ari are raising, and I'm not arguing with that. But there's a different question, which is there such an ideal in Judaism? And I think that that's where we have to learn that Gemara, saying it's a little bit complex. And again, the Gemara that says they did have the man and he did show them the man. So then is there really an ideal to work or is it just a necessary evil?
Most people might, even though nobody wants it really for themselves and the kids, there I can certainly see situations where people can benefit and grow more spiritually having to work the garbage run for a month. I mean, your example was beautiful the other night where you had that moil experience where you were learning. You know, and we were learning, and the teacher wasn't the best of teachers, and somehow embarrassed you in this, and you were with great pathos explaining, you know, how you were feeling. And even though at the time it was a great disaster, embarrassment, you look back at it now, I would think that you would not want that if it never have had that experience. What you can empathize with others, what you can feel, what you can learn about education, what you can learn from all those things. Saying when, you know, how do people treat you when you take it out of the garbage every day, you know, picking up their trash, you know, what do you see if you were working as a housekeeper in someone's home, what do you see the other side of those people, and there are ways you can grow in all these areas, spiritually, I think. So I don't necessarily, if someone could be a great Talmud Chacham, obviously wonderful, but to make that as, that's everybody's path in an ideal world, maybe, but doesn't seem to be in the world I know.
Ari's waiting, sorry, yeah.
You said something interesting just now that about the ideal. You said you'd have to look into the Gemara. I forgot exactly how you put it, but it definitely did sound. I want to ask if you can elaborate on that, and because like I said earlier, you know, if there's like, you know, the way I see it is that there is some sort of unity between the physical and the spiritual. I want to know how does that relate to the ideal that you're talking about or referring to, and also, you know, could it be that when Hashem designs us and creates us and the purpose that we're even born in the first place, could it be like doesn't necessarily have to be to accomplish that this certain ideal balance? Or could it be for the purpose, you know, like this person is born to, you know, specifically for the physical aspect, and then this person is born to balance that with the spiritual and learning aspect, you know, like, what is the relation, like how does the balance manifest itself according to the ideal that you were referring to?
So, I'd be happy to take a few minutes to discuss it if everyone here wants to. It's not really our topic in Yeshaya. So, if how many people want us to go discuss that for a few minutes?
That's interesting.
Okay.